Andre! Andre! Wake up, buddy!
I don't want to go to school, Mama.
Andre! Wake up, buddy! It's time to do the show!
Five more minutes, hit the snooze.
Andre! Come on, buddy! You can do this!
What's going on?
That's right! Here is your host of the Negative Positives Podcast, all the way from sunny California, Andre Dominguez.
Welcome back to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode number 211. I am your co-host, Andre Dominguez, coming at you from the City of Angels with another solo show. A big thanks to, once again, the wonderful Mr. Mike Williams for that hilarious intro that he put together. If any of you guys have missed an episode and don't really know what that's referring to, be sure to check in on episode number 210. I believe it's about maybe an hour into the podcast once M starts regaling us with some Fujifilm history that I just completely nod off and start snoring. But anyway, what am I going to be talking about this solo show? I kind of want to talk a little bit more about the recent film photography paideia that I attended in the lovely little beach town of San Clemente, California, home of thedarkroom.com. Talking about kind of what were some of the things that I was thinking about prior to attending while I was there, and then also in hindsight. And a lot of this has to do with both kind of gear and my thoughts on shooting during events. I think I did a pretty good job before, you know, well, prior to falling asleep, of talking about the event and what it was like kind of being there with people. But a big thing that I had to consider when I was packing to go there, which is a problem that I've had for years and years and years, is packing too much stuff, especially too much camera gear. A big example of that is the Beers and Cameras events that happen out here in Los Angeles. Part of that is because of the fact that Beers and Cameras is a great opportunity to try out cameras that you may not have ever tried before, may not have ever, you know, gotten your hands on in the past, unless you work for an awesome camera store like Southeastern Camera in Carrboro, North Carolina. But I always kind of tend in these kinds of gatherings of film photographers to pack basically everything. Now, many of you know that I have really, really slimmed down my collection of cameras such that there really wasn't a whole lot to bring. But even so, you know, I very well could have brought the Holga and the Sprocket Rocket and my Nikon FE and the Olympus XA, but I really kind of didn't want to focus on carrying a heavy bag full of gear on a weekend that I knew was as much fun as it was going to be very tiring. But I also didn't want to kind of divide my headspace between five or six different cameras. I kind of wanted to focus on a couple of things. Just kind of capturing sort of candid moments with my Leica M6. It's perhaps last hurrah before it gets sold. And maybe that was kind of part of me trying to see if, you know, do I really want to sell this thing? And yeah, my opinions haven't changed. especially talking to a lot of people out there that had Leica M2s and getting my hands on them once again. Big shout out to Chris Nix, who lives out here in Southern California. But yeah, I wanted to kind of not divide my headspace too much, just focus on a couple of cameras. So I ended up bringing my Leica M6 for sort of capturing these candid moments, and my Rolleiflex for taking portraits of the people I was going to meet there. Only ended up putting one roll through the Rolly, just doing some portraits of who did I take pictures of? I took pictures of a lot of people. And then maybe I think a couple of rolls through the Leica. And that kind of gets into the second point that I want to talk about. Fair warning, this is going to be a really rambly solo show episode. I didn't really write notes. I'm kind of recording this late after a long day of work, but I kind of just wanted to get these thoughts out there and give Mike enough time to edit this together. But kind of, I noticed that people were burning through a lot of film. You know, a lot of people brought, you know, Ziploc bags full of 35mm and medium format. There were a couple people out there with a bunch of loaded 4x5 film holders. And I started noticing that people were kind of burning through rolls left and right, and, you know, asking each other for, oh, do you have a roll of so-and-so? I ran out. Whereas I really only shot three rolls. And it kind of got me thinking about sort of events in my life, be it birthdays or, you know, get-togethers with friends or visiting my family during vacation, that I do tend to shoot less, even though kind of part of me thinks, oh, well, this is an important event, this is an important moment, I should be trying to document this to the fullest. But and I felt this before, but I think I felt it kind of more strongly than I ever had during the Paideia, that kind of being behind the camera very often, I felt like I was kind of not present, not there. I much more enjoyed the conversations I was able to have with people in many cases than actually taking pictures of them. Maybe with the exception of the one roll of portraits that I took on the Rolleiflex, because that is kind of a little bit more of an intimate type thing. You know, I'd usually sort of have a conversation with somebody for 5-10 minutes, and then ask to make sure that I kind of didn't forget if I could, you know, whip out the Rolleiflex and take a portrait of them. Whereas with the Leica, I was kind of, I don't know, I was kind of sort of just taking pictures, sort of zone focusing, kind of taking pictures of other people, taking pictures of people. Like that will make sense if you guys have done that, if you've done photo walks with other film shooters, or if you've gone to events like this. Probably half of the shots that you take are just of the other people taking pictures. So I got a couple rolls of that, but I know, you know, at the end of the day, the pictures that are gonna mean more to me once I finally get them developed are gonna be those portraits, and there's only 12 of them on that roll, compared to 72 pictures on the 35mm. So I don't know, I kind of wanted to share my thoughts on that, of sort of being at an event and not feeling that, or at least trying not to feel that pressure to kind of snap a bajillion pictures, and maybe be a little bit more thought. And I don't mean for this to be, you know, what is it called, prescriptive in any way, shape, or form. It was just kind of how I felt myself there, sort of seeing everybody taking a bunch of pictures and me not really taking that many. Not that I really feel that I any regret that I didn't document the event, because so many people were documenting it probably better than I ever could. I think I did a good job of documenting the conversations I had in the form of the portraits of the people that I took portraits of, but there's a, as a lot of people out there know, a lot of our listeners know, it's pretty easy to be better at the Instagram game than I am, and better at developing in your, and scanning your film quickly than I am. And so I've already seen so many, you know, pictures that, that people took at the Paideia. It was not without being documented and captured on film for posterity, even if I'm just seeing the scans that people are posting to Instagram right now. But yeah, at the next event that you're at, don't feel bad that you are not taking as many pictures as perhaps you think you should. Or if you're at a photo walk or a beers and cameras type thing, if there's a bunch of people snapping away and burning through rolls and you're not, don't feel bad about that. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
I can't do it anymore. My voice does not have the gravel of sleep deprivation and copious amounts of whiskey that it did immediately following the Paideia. But yeah, that's going to be the end of part one. I'm going to hand the floor to Mr. Ian Fleming, who is going to come at us with a call-in camera review of the Olympus XA2. Over to you, Ian.
Hey, Mike and Andre, this is Ian Fleming. I thought I'd do a call-in camera review for the lovely little Olympus XA2. I've used the XA, the rangefinder version, but for street photography, if you're not caring about depth of field stuff, the XA2 is a little wonder. Basically, it's the clamshell Olympus XA. There's nothing much to do besides set the ISO. On normal point and shoot, you can leave it in orange mode, which is hyperfocal, between 1.2 meters and infinity. You can set it to infinity if you want, or you can set it for close up down to 0.8 of a 0.9 of a meter. It's basically a great little point and shoot camera. You can set it up to 800 ISO. So I tend to run HP5, Ilford HP5, pushing at a stop. It's got a low light indicator in the viewfinder for when there isn't enough light. And what I tend to do here is use a little mini GorillaPod tripod and use the self timer for long exposure when it's low light. I can recommend the XA2, Olympus XA2, great little camera for street photography. Thanks for the great stuff, guys. Keep the good podcast up. That's all from Ian Fleming.
All right. Thank you so much for that call-in camera review, Ian, of the Olympus XA2, the cousin of my beloved Olympus XA. I know that, you know, Ian mentioned that he'd used it before, and a lot of people probably have kind of gotten their hands on both of them, and for some of the reasons that Ian mentioned, prefer the XA2, but the XA will always kind of hold a special place in my heart. And technically, on the specification side, I really enjoy the fact that if I need to, I can use the rangefinder patch, even though it is incredibly dim and hard to use, as well as the fact that the little lever on the bottom of the camera does have a, I believe it's a plus 1.5 exposure compensation, which I always think is, you know, pretty cool to have on a aperture priority, you know, automatic camera. Makes it great for if you're taking something that just, you know, push comes to shove, the scene just happens to be kind of backlit, and you want to make sure that, let's say, a person is properly exposed, or if you're not sure and you want to kind of bracket your shots, take one just according to what the camera decides, and then flip that little lever over to the plus 1.5 exposure compensation and take another shot, and then afterwards compare, see which one turned out better. But don't want to get too much into the camera, trying to keep this solo show pretty short. But yes, kind of closing this out, you can see my film and watch photography on Instagram at AndreOnFilm. Be sure to email this podcast at negpositives@gmail.com with your questions, call-in camera reviews, or anything else. please join the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group to keep up to date with the personal projects, inside jokes, and general hilariosity of our wonderful listeners. And last but not least, be sure to follow Negative Positives on Instagram, run by, of course, friend of the show, Bryce Randall. Use the hashtag Negative Positives so that Bryce can share some of your images with the rest of us, and join us for another episode of the Mike and Andre and potentially a guest. I'm not 100% sure who we've lined up for this Sunday's recording, but I'm gonna do my best to get plenty of sleep on Saturday, and maybe sleep in on Sunday so that I can stay awake for our guests. It'd only be respectful. Thank you so much, everybody. Everybody stay positive and shoot some cool film photos.
Gutter Man Cave Production!